Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Each and every Wednesday at this time, we talk with the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Terry Francona. Good afternoon, Terry.
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
You know, doing great. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Good.
You know, before we go anywhere, we've got to solve this once and for all, and you're the only guy who can do it. Who's faster, Dustin Pedroia or Kevin Youkilis?
This is maybe an ongoing argument for the ages. We're on the plane coming home the other night, and Pedroia almost pulled a hamstring coming up to the front of the plane when he found out that one of our coaches had sided with Youkilis. I'm staying away from that one just because I know Pedroia's going to come walking through that door in about 45 minutes. He'll be right in my office.
So neither guy is really that fast. That's really what it comes down to, right?
That's a good way to put it. And if they were, I wouldn't tell them anyway.
Well, as Remy said at one point last night, I don't believe either of them have got any stolen bases, do they?
I think Uke might.
He might have one?
Yeah, I think Uke does. He actually... This is going to be one of those things. They're going to fight it out all year.
Oh, Uke's got two. We just looked.
Yeah,
up.
I was going to say. Wow. Uke actually. Uke's and they're both real good base runners. Neither one of them are going to be confused with Maury Wills, but they're actually both really good base runners. That's probably more important than just having the flat out speed.
You know, Tito, let's go back to last night's game. If there was any doubt that Josh Beckett would be dealing with rust, that doubt was put away pretty quickly. What do you think he did well or did best last night against the Indians?
You know what I was so proud of him? I think it goes before not just what he did yesterday, but to get to the point where he could do that last night, the way he and John worked together during his downtime, the simulated innings, the not allowing the rust. I think anybody would have thought if he came out and he was either overthrowing or underthrowing or not commanding, you know, there would have been almost a mulligan. And this kid came out and he was good right from the start. And that's a lot of maturity on his part. He handled the adversity and being down. He didn't pout. He didn't mope. He didn't complain. He just went out and kept his delivery intact. And so now we bring him back after missing two starts, and he didn't skip a beat.
Is it fair to say that because of the cushion which your team has put together here, you're able to be a little more cautious with Josh Beckett, maybe with David Ortiz, than you might be under normal circumstances?
No, I actually don't agree with that one. We're trying to do, from day one, you know, we've spoken about using the bullpen in a manner where we don't wear guys out. And I think maybe part of the reason that's where we are is because we're using our whole team. Guys feel included. We're not relying on somebody when we shouldn't. I think that creates a sense of not just accomplishment, but confidence throughout the clubhouse. Cora knows we have complete confidence in playing him, whether it's second base or shortstop. Hinsky can go to left or right field. You know, Willie Mopeña plays two nights. I mean, that's what we want. Pinheiro comes in the other night in Texas and nails it, just shuts it down. That's if you can get that feeling going through the clubhouse, you got a good thing going.
There were three games where David Ortiz did not play. Did that rest allow him to go from just a random number, say being 60% to 85%?
We really trying to get past that 85. David feels such a responsibility to play that he can run himself into the ground. He did it last year. We all, you know, it's well documented, the heart scare and everything. And I remember talking to him in the middle of the night, and all he was thinking about was, I got to play, we're not winning. And, you know, as a manager and a coach, you appreciate it so much. But it was getting a little hard for David to get into his comfortable stance. And, you know, he was still swinging a bat pretty well, but it was just getting harder for him to generate, you know, use his legs. And I just thought, you know, this is crazy. We got 4 months left. This doesn't make sense. The flu hit him pretty hard last week, and he got dehydrated, and it didn't help. And now I looked at him last night after the game, and his eyes were, he had that sparkle back, and he goes, I'm ready. That's exactly what we're looking for.
So just to be clear, Tito, you would have taken him out even if your lead over the Orioles had been 3 games, not just 11.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was getting at. We try to, and we talk about this all the time. When we make those decisions about pitching guys, resting guys, we try never to do it in the heat of the moment, because you'll always make the wrong decision, or you'll go with he's okay. It's just too easy to want to find innings or at-bats for guys like David or Pap. So we talk about it when there's not the emotion of the game, and I find we make much better decisions that way.
Having a 21-game hitting streak is amazing enough for anybody in this day and age. It's more amazing to me that you've got a 9-game streak of multiple hit games. Kevin Youkilis is the hottest hitter in Major League Baseball right now.
You know what, Dale, I'll take it a step further, because Yuke's not the type of hitter that goes like 2 for 5. You know, he gets his walk, and he's on base. He swings at strikes. He's a really good, young, improving hitter that is in a really good stretch. He's seeing the ball. He's at points of at-bats. He's taking what pitchers give him. You know, he'll shoot the ball to right field. If they want to come in, he'll turn on it. It's been a fun streak to watch. You know, you don't hit 450 the whole year, but this guy's a good hitter. And, again, you know, where he ends up, it's going to be interesting to watch.
Is there anything about what he's doing right now that's surprising to you?
I don't know about surprising, but it's certainly improving. You know, last year, I mean, it's pretty solid. And he got worn down at the end of the year, and he got beat up, and he kind of paid for it. This year, when the pitchers are heading the count, he's taking what they give him. He's using right field. He's cutting down on some strikeouts because he's using the whole field, and it's just making him a much more dangerous hitter.
I know you want to have guys on your team who have some versatility, who can play first and third as Youkilis can, and even some outfield. But best case scenario, when no one is hurt, how often do you want Kevin Youkilis to play a different position?
Well, I don't necessarily want him to play a different position. I think when we rest Lowell, which for me is probably an average of maybe every 12, 13 games. That again, depends on sometimes early in the season you have rain that gives you leeway to not rest him. I think that's probably the right way to go. And I think we're a better team if we put Uke at third and Hinsky at first, because they're both more comfortable at those positions. I mean, Hinsky's more comfortable at first, and Uke can go over to third, and I think he handles it. You know, that's, again, sometimes it's a schedule. You know, we have a Sunday night game here against the Yankees at, 8 o'clock, and then we play on the West Coast the next night. So we'll do some shuffle in those next couple days just to keep everybody as fresh as we can, and not necessarily with days off in our schedule, but because of the travel, we want to make sure our guys are healthy and productive.
We're all focused on Youkilis's offense for obvious reasons. He's got the 21-game hitting streak, but do you see him doing things at first base this year that you didn't see him doing last year?
The only thing I think is different, because I thought he was a pretty good first baseman right off the bat, is I think his comfort level at his position. You know, when the ball's hit, he doesn't have to think through anymore where he's supposed to go. He's starting to do it a little more naturally, and that's just repetition. I thought he was a pretty good first baseman right from the get-go, and I think anybody that can play third is certainly going to be able to play first, but the field is tilted backwards. Your view is, you know, a little bit different, and he had to think before he moved on a lot of plays, and that's gone now.
Is Dustin Pedroia a 300 hitter at the major league level?
I think he is today.
He is today.
Yeah, you know what? Who knows? And I don't think that's the end-all, be-all, although it's a – I know for a hitter, being over 300 means a lot. But, I mean, his on-base percentage is phenomenal. And there's just a lot of things that we're probably grateful for. I mean, this kid – being a young kid in this town on this team isn't easy. You know, it's – you got to be pretty special. And he endured that first month, which we talked about even all spring, is, hey, we think this kid's a pretty good player. You might not see it in April. That's just the way the game is. But he hung in there. He worked hard on the days when we played Cora. He'd go out and take extra ground balls, and he hit early. And now we're starting to see the fruits of that. And between Cora and Pedroia, we got a heck of a second base situation that we're really comfortable with.
Everyone who talks about Pedroia talks about his confidence and his comfort level in the big leagues. I'm wondering, and you've been around baseball for a long time, What's the balance between being comfortable and confident and being cocky? And is that line extremely fine?
You know what? I'm not sure it matters. I think for a kid like Pedroia, who, you know, with his size, has probably always felt like, you know, again, people are doubting him. And that's the way he survives. We've talked about this a lot between, I don't want him to change. If somebody thinks he's arrogant, good. That's how he's a good player. And being on our team, this kid wants to win in the worst way. So I think he's a breath of fresh air. Some of the things he says when he comes back to the dugout, I probably can't repeat them, but there's a lot of admiration there in the way this kid goes about the game, not just from me, but from the veteran players. I mean, they may shake their head and laugh, but they appreciate him.
Give us a G-rated glimpse.
No, I don't think I can. he's a confident young man, and I think he has to take that almost that me against the world mentality, again, because of his size and what he's probably been up against just to get here, because I'm sure he's been questioned at every level, and at every level he succeeded, and I don't see him stopping here.
I know as manager of the Red Sox, it's your job to worry about everything and not just the stuff that happens necessarily tonight between the lines. Do you ever worry about this team not staying focused because of the way things have gone so far?
No, that really hasn't ever been an issue, I don't think, since I've been here. I mean, whether you're loose or whether, you know, it's quiet, I think our guys really show up to play. I know the one thing I think I've spoken about a ton is when we lose a game and you see the guys coming back through the tunnel and it's quiet or they're mad, it's not because they were 0-4, it's because we lost. I mean, we got a bunch of men here. You know, we'll go through tough times. You know, there's some swings during the season when things don't go your way, but that doesn't mean they lose focus. And I actually really respect our focus. I think our guys do a great job of getting ready. There's a lot of things that probably happen off the field in the cage before the game that people don't have any idea that, you know, in the video room, that these guys do a great job of getting ready.
You did say they are men, so men are going to do what men do. I'm wondering, do you have a problem with them checking scoreboard watching? It's right out there in left field, the standings, and ESPN, I'm sure, is on a lot in the clubhouse. Do you have a problem with them looking at the lead? Now the lead over the Yankees is 14.5, and the lead over the Orioles is 11-plus?
Michael, I don't think it's just that. I think it's human nature to look at the scoreboard. I mean, it's right there. I mean, it's hard to miss. You know, that thing is, 296 feet away. And I know I catch myself in between innings looking at the scoreboard, and it's almost a relaxation thing. You know, you get so wound up, and you're trying to tell yourself, okay, look, sit here. You know, we got a one-run lead. You know, guys are in place, and I'll glance up, but I think it's more of a relaxation method than anything else. It's like a therapy of, like, you know, just even the National League games, which doesn't have any demeanor or, you know, any reason to affect us, but it's probably, like I said, it's there and it's something to do.
Do you almost feel, Terry, that you have two closers? And I was looking at the way you operated over the weekend in Texas, holding Okajima out of this game and knowing he'd be available for next game and the same situation last night. Do you almost feel like you have two closers?
Well, I know what you're saying. The best case scenario is to have them both available because we talk so much about shortening games. And we've been able to do that by mixing and matching, you know, Javi, Donnelly, Pinheiro, Snides, everybody actually, JC. But when we have those two, they're the guys that they really pretty much pitch complete innings because of their effectiveness against lefties and righties. But because we've also used them a lot, we're trying to keep everybody productive. The easiest thing for a manager is to pitch guys into the ground. And I'm telling you, I fight myself with it because these guys are good and you want them out there. But you try to make it good enough decisions where you don't run them into the ground. So we've been very careful. And because of that, we've been going every other day for the last 3 or 4 days, you know, just because of the usage.
We talked about Josh Beckett off the top, and you said you were proud of him for not being rusty and being focused and working with John Farrell. We didn't talk about how he did this against the Cleveland Indians. Could you assess their lineup, Tito?
I think it may be the best in baseball. And I know that's a kind of a fashionable thing for coaches to say when other teams come in. I hear it in football every week, and I think, my goodness, is every team the best? But these guys have a – these guys got a good team. I mean, they got pitching. They have some youth. They have some veterans. They have some power. They have guys that can run. You know, so far this series, we've kept Sizemore off base. We've done some good things. We've gotten in the middle of the order for the most part, and they haven't been in position to kill us. And when they have, you know, Javi Lopez comes in and gets a ground ball. We've picked out of a couple dangerous situations. The best case for us is get them out of town and let them beat up on somebody else.
You got to give us the honest answer of what you were thinking in the dugout the other day when Julian Tavares bowled the ball over to first base.
I can't give you the honest answer. That is hard to turn that into a G rating. I guess the first thing is I was glad Millar wasn't over there because he might have missed it. You know what? I wasn't very happy about it. But Julian doesn't mean I just don't understand how a guy can throw 93 on the black and then, you know, needs to roll the ball to first. But Julian doesn't mean anything bad by it. He's not trying to show anybody up. He did it last year in Chicago too. But he did promise me he wouldn't do it anymore, so I'm hoping he'll live up to that promise.
Well, and the reason I even asked is I know the respect you have for the game and the respect you want your players to have. Did you feel that was being disrespectful?
No, and I was hoping the Rangers wouldn't feel that way so they wouldn't have extra cause to dig in, you know, because we were winning at the time, and you don't want to awake a team. Julian doesn't do that. He's not real comfortable throwing that ball to first. You see him underhanded so often. I thought this was a little low. You know,
just a little.
You want to run it over there a little bit and toss it. I understand, but you know, throwing grounders is what I thought a bit much. And Julian, he kind of assured us he'd stay away from that.
Another interesting thing that happened in Texas, it just reminded me, you guys talking about Tavares, was Gagne looking into your dugout during that bat against Pedroia. Was he saying, just what am I supposed to throw next? I mean, what was that like?
You know, I actually kind of took that as almost a show of respect to Pedroia. I didn't think he was laughing at him. I thought it was like, you know, what do I got to do? You know, but he was throwing some great pitches. He's fouling them to left. He's fouling them to right. He's taking some half swings. And you could just, you know, I said to Millsy about the ninth pitch, I said, man, you know, Millsy said, what an at-bat. I said, it'd be a great at-bat if he takes him deep here. And he ends up finally getting one over the plate and Pedroia hits it. But I didn't think that was one of those things where he was laughing at Pedroia. I just thought he was like, you know, my goodness, what do I got to do to get this kid out?
Because he was throwing him everything, wasn't he?
Everything he had. And that was an unbelievable at-bat. That's the type of at-bat. Pedroia has already been swinging it, but that's the type of at-bat that can get you hot.
Daisuke Matsusaka is tonight's pitcher for you. I'm looking at his game log. He has won his last four decisions in a row. In fact, he's won six in a row, and he didn't get a decision in the Seattle game. What's he doing differently that's been so effective?
He's just back to being confident. He went through a little bit of a period there where, you know, he's human. Things weren't perfect for him. Out of the stretch, he was rushing. You know, it was well documented. My goodness, I was hearing everything from, you know, the experts on ESPN that everybody had him figured out. He just needed to stay back over his balance point and trust his stuff. And you got to go do that again and to have the confidence. And now he's a confident pitcher, which he should be. That doesn't mean he's going to throw a shutout tonight because this is a good lineup. But he's a pretty good pitcher. And, again, more often than not, this kid's going to have success just because he's good and he throws all his pitches for strikes.
I know you don't have a medical degree, but I guess you have learned if you're throwing up into a garbage can, chances are you don't feel well. Is that how it goes?
That would be my assessment.
Yeah, that would be it.
That was my layman's. That was my way of thinking, okay, he's had enough. When I went back to check on him and he's been over, that's plenty.
And by the way, he pitched pretty well for a guy who didn't feel very well.
I'm gonna tell you something. He had no business being out there. And for anybody that's had the flu, and you know how you feel, you want to get under the covers, you want somebody to bring you some soup or some hot tea. You don't want to be pitching a game. And for me, doing something like that, that won a game for us because we got in their bullpen early, and they didn't have the ability to make the moves they wanted to. And we were able to because he stayed out there for five innings. I'm going to tell you something. That goes all the way through the clubhouse. People appreciate that.
Tito, I know I don't have to talk you into putting David Ortiz, writing that name in the lineup, but with the off day tomorrow, and he's already missed three games, was there any thought to sitting him out tonight's game and just coming back fresh on Friday?
Yeah, there was. If he wouldn't have been so adamant that he's fine, I wouldn't have put him in there tonight. That was a distinct possibility. But against Paul Byrd, who, you know, again, this guy got some funk in his delivery, especially with the right-handers. Having David's bat in the lineup will really be beneficial. But we would have not have played him if the medical people and David wouldn't have said he was raring to go. So, no, we're pretty careful about that.
I know you've told us what a Major League All-Star texter John Lester is. What's he texting you lately?
You know what? That's the next thing I got to do. He pitched a good game last night. I think the health was fantastic. I'm actually going to run down. We got a day off tomorrow, and I'm going to run down there and watch that game. I just, you know, it might be kind of fun. See some of the guys out of the bullpen. See Timlin pitch again. You know, maybe you actually eat a hot dog and watch a game. It would be kind of fun. But I'll text him here, and as soon as I hang up with you guys, and I bet you I have one back in 5 minutes. He's the best.
Now, at what point is his rehab stint up down there?
Well, the actual date, I don't know. He's going to pitch again in what, four, you know, 5 days now, and hopefully we'll get him up close to 100 pitches. Once we do that, then I think he's at the point where his pitching dictates where we go from there, which is really good. And he'll be thrilled with that because he's felt all along like we're being overprotective, and maybe we are. But I think we have an obligation to him. I know I've spoken to his folks a few times, and I told Mr. Lester, I said, at some point we're really going to aggravate your son. And he was kind of funny, but he goes, yeah, go right ahead. He goes, I'm with you. So we've been pretty much on the same page through this whole thing about taking care of this kid.
You'll be watching the game in Pawtucket tomorrow. Don't be heckling the manager, okay?
Oh, I'll be. That'll be the first thing I do. This is RJ's. I don't know. I got a soft spot for RJ because I think managing AAA is a tough place to be. And every kid that comes to the big leagues and every kid that goes back, you never hear him say something bad about RJ. And that's a pretty big compliment because it's not an easy place to be the manager because guys are going down, guys are coming up, and he manages all the personalities, and he does it in a real good way.
You probably haven't heard there's a team coming in this weekend that usually gets some attention.
Yeah, I heard that. There was mention of that. When I see the New York Riders coming in, I know the Yankees are about 3 days behind.
Well, they'll be coming, and it'll be a zoo again this weekend.
That's a shocker.
Yeah, I know. Terry, we always appreciate the time. Keep going the way you're going. Heck, I wouldn't change your socks if I were you.
Oh, the family might disagree with that and the other players, but I know I got your feeling. I'm with you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Terry.
All right,
we'll
see you.
That is Red Sox manager Terry Francona, who's got it going as good as it can go right now, and I don't think he's looking to change a whole lot, and I wouldn't be either.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.